Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ, with theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Desjardins, and me, your host, Steve Bastian. Today's topic is prayer. Should it be banned?
I can't believe that we're trying to find our way to another restaurant. This is ridiculous.
Oh, Al, it's like pathetic. All week, every time I go in, you have a picture on the door, and it's like, we do not serve this guy.
I didn't do anything. I started with great. Oh, wait. Who's that?
That looks like...
Chad! That's...
No.
Steve! Okay, pull over, pull over, pull over! Steve!
Hey! Hey, guys!
Steve! Hey. Oh, man, you got... What happened?
I'm glad to see you guys. Wow.
We thought the pirates had you dead to rights.
Yeah, you were done. We just recorded without you last week. I figured we'd never see you again.
You guys left me, I think. I saw you swimming off. You left me on that pirate ship.
No, we wouldn't say we left you.
No.
Oh, okay. We were fleeing for our lives, and we thought you were right behind us.
Yeah, I did.
When we got to safety and looked back and you weren't there, it was a shock to both Al and I.
We were both very surprised.
Well, I'll go listen to last week's podcast and see how it really went.
I shed a tear, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
We set up a little memorial for you.
Yeah. I thought about you every day. I sent my thoughts to you.
Actually, I didn't think about you until I saw you on the road today, but...
Oh, yeah.
But then I thought very sympathetic thoughts.
So you got to tell me, how'd you get off the pirate ship?
The captain of the ship, his name is Robertson, he said, "All right, Steve, I've never had a valet. You can try it for tonight. I'll most likely kill you in the morning." So for 3 days, he said that. "Good night, Steve. Good work. Sleep well. I'll most likely kill you in the morning." It was a fine time for me. I learned to fence, to fight, anything anyone would teach me. And Robert and I eventually became friends, and then it happened.
What?
What happened?
What happened?
Sorry, I can't talk about it.
Oh.
Well, hey. Now that you're back, I'll tell you what. I'll buy you a cheeseburger if we can find somewhere that Al's actually allowed to go.
I like cheeseburgers. We might be banned from all of them. Now, the story behind the banning is a simple one. It's the fact that wherever I go, I usually say grace. I can get a little loud. I can get a little into it. It can take up to 15 minutes. But at the same time, people get, I think people really get into it. It's just that usually by the 7th or 8th minute of grace, the manager comes out and has a talk with me. And then I find I'm not allowed to come back because those things are getting slowly banned throughout the country. And I think I might have started it.
I'll start something that ripples across the country in a negative way.
Yeah,
it wouldn't
I
be the first time.
Recently in Quebec and had lunch with some members of a local town council.
Yeah.
So there's a Supreme Court ruling from one of these towns in Quebec that it used to be the town council opened in prayer and they had a crucifix hanging in the town council chamber, and the Supreme Court ruled that violated spiritual neutrality. This will now apply to all of Canada because it's a Supreme Court ruling, which is a national court. I'm actually quite concerned on how to respond. I don't even know where to go.
Well, I'll tell you, I've definitely experienced this trend living in Ottawa. I'm from Alberta, but I've been living in Ottawa for almost 10 years now. And this area is a tough nut to crack when it comes to spiritual issues. I recently talked to a friend who's actually a pastor from the southern states who came here to plant a church on the outskirts of Ottawa. He's having an insanely difficult time. And from what I can tell, he's doing everything by the book. He loves Jesus. He's a good pastor. He's conservative in his theology. He's actually Southern Baptist. And he's been heavily involved in the community. He's doing it all right. But no matter what he does, he just can't crack through that apathy and antagonism towards Christianity. And the attitude seems to be pervading all of Canadian culture. Like, today our topic is civic prayer, so let me give you a bit of backstory of why we're talking about this. 9 years ago, an atheist named Alan Simoneau filed a complaint...
An atheist named Alan, whose last name ends in O.
I promise! It wasn't me this time!
Someone you've heard of, is that right,
heard
Alan?
Of, yes. Alan Simoneau filed a complaint against the mayor of Saguenay, Quebec, that having prayer before the meeting in the city council made him suffer isolation, exclusion, and stigmatization. Now, this went all the way up to the Supreme Court, who ruled on April 15th of this year that the town of Saguenay can no longer recite a Catholic prayer because it infringes on the freedom of conscience of religion. By the way, they gave him $33,000 for damages.
So just hold on a minute. Now, was this fellow a member of the town council? No. Was this prayer mandatory or voluntary?
This would be a voluntary prayer. Nobody had to pray it.
So a non-member who didn't have to pray it and no one had to pray it was put under undue duress. Interesting. Okay, just clarify. Okay.
All right, we'll continue on. The basic idea is that the Supreme Court of Canada feels that Canadians today don't want the Christians to be in official public places praying as an official because the state has to remain neutral in regards to religion and beliefs. Now, the words of the ruling are very specific. It says, this neutrality requires that the state neither favor nor hinder any particular belief, and the same holds true for non-belief. So, of course, the most neutral thing you can do is to outright and completely ban it altogether forever. You know, like when you invite someone out for dinner and you ask where they want to go and they say they're neutral about it, they don't really care, but they absolutely ban you for life from ever eating pizza and cannot eat Italian food with them ever. That's a totally neutral opinion. And so, since that ruling, a bunch of other cities in Canada, they want to follow the ruling, and they've kind of got on the bandwagon. They want to be totally neutral, you know, totally neutral, and they have banned civic prayers in their towns too. The printer toner wasn't even dry on the ruling before Ottawa suspended the practice. Other cities that have jumped on board include Calgary, Kelowna, Regina, Edmonton, St. John's, and there's more adding to the list every day. The House of Commons of Canada is still starting prayer with Almighty God, but some people are preparing to freak out about it. Winnipeg actually bucked the trend and opened up with prayer in their last city council meeting. I think it was today or yesterday. They started with a prayer for Nepal.
The term that I've heard used by people is Christendom. Our country, Canada, was established under Christ's reign in government and the laws, and you know that was through the crown, was connected to the church. Anyways, the history there, and now we're seeing that being removed. It's almost like they're tearing everything that looks even religious out of it. Chad, is this something that has happened in history before, and is this ongoing secularization happening in Canada?
Yeah, I like the word that you actually used, that we're seeing a trend. What most disturbs me about it isn't the individual things, but the fact that we seem to be making Supreme Court decisions and decisions of natural consequence based on trendiness and not on the rule of law. As we have developed now a body of rulings by our courts establishing this type of direction, it will become entrenched in our legal tradition. And so it kind of becomes, by de facto, a kind of rule of law. But we're really just sort of inventing it as we go along, just based on trends we're seeing.
As I was reading about this, it really seemed that the Supreme Court wasn't looking as much for what does the law say as much as what is culture saying right now about the law. Let's try to predict the future in this, and we'll get on board with what's happening and what we know is going to happen. The problem, like you said, is since they seem more interested in what culture is doing and the perception of culture, that they actually are creating law.
Yeah, and just to point out one other instance where this happened, where the courts began to do that, we certainly see that in the 1930s in Germany. And what ended up happening was it was the trends and the distaste towards certain people groups and the taste for a certain form of nationalism that began to become the rule of the whim of the day rather than sticking with the rule of law. So there's a lot of danger in it. However, I think historically the way we want to contextualize this is just simply to realize this. Yeah, as a Christian, it's kind of a bummer to lose some of our heritage, but you know, most Christians throughout the world and throughout history have lived in pagan states and secular states. Daniel didn't get to open Babylonian parliaments with prayers to Yahweh. He did it in his private prayer closet, for which they also tried to kill him for. This is the way most Christians have lived. And the fact of the matter is they're coming after our private prayer closets. That's the end game. I think what people don't realize is this isn't politics as usual. A lot of my Christian friends don't realize it. This is a cosmic battle. The kingdoms of this world are under the control of Satan, according to Scripture. Under the prince of the power of the darkness of the air, they have their minds blinded so they cannot see the truth. And Christians are under the lordship of Christ and live in the kingdom of God, and our citizenship is in heaven. And as these kingdoms collide, this is actually a cosmic warfare and Satan is doing everything he can to destroy and distort. Now, Christendom has sometimes been a distorting factor. It's allowed people to live without truly trusting in Christ, believing that they're Christians because they live in a Christian society. It's had its own share of troubles. However, its great benefit has been freedom and liberty, not just for Christians, but for people of all faiths to enjoy worshiping, to share their faith. And those freedoms now are being impinged, and we're going back to the good old days, or the bad old days, I should say, when we're going to have to be back to being Daniels, and we're going to just live in a pagan state, and that's our new reality.
But that's the most scary part of it, is the fact that they're couching it in that language of freedom. We want everybody to have freedom. We want the freedom of the unbeliever to not believe. We want the freedom for the believer to believe. We're Canada. We accept everybody. It's so wonderful. But the way that it's being brought about is very non-neutral. It's very not freeing. In fact, people are no longer allowed to pray in public in their own town hall, even if it's non-sectarian prayer. Like, if it's a non-denominational, totally wide-open prayer that could be prayed by anybody, they're still not allowed to pray it because it might infringe on the beliefs of unbelievers, whatever that means.
The question that I have that kind of falls after that is, how should I, as regular Joe, don't have any poll anywhere, respond to this? You know, do I write letters to my council? Other religions that seem to have a little bit more clout than us when it comes to the national media eye. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm thinking especially of the Muslim faith. You know, there's cases of them being allowed to pray in public, and there's been no issues.
Yeah. Personally, I'm a champion of freedom. I think that while we have democracy and freedom of expression, yeah, well, let's use it to champion freedom. But theologically, I got two principles really quickly. Romans chapter 13 tells us that the government is appointed by God. It has authority only because God appoints it. And that its authority is to be respected as God's authority. And the person in government that Paul was writing about in Romans 13 was Nero in his court in Imperial Rome. There was no democracy, no freedom of expression.
And Nero loved Christians.
Yeah. So look up Nero and Christians on the internet. You know, I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Just do a Google image search of Nero and Christian, and you'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Do not have children in the room when you do that.
Yeah, one of his favorite things to do was to tie Christians up to stakes, cover them in oil, and then use them as lamps to light his parties. So, you know, one of the things I think is really clear there is that we don't need to be agitators and lawbreakers to live out our faith, because Paul was not able to walk into the Roman Colosseum, government offices, and give his prayers. At the same time, we need to pray for our nation that it might become godly, because it's better for everyone, not just Christians, and as Christians, we need to not compromise our faith and our consciences. And that's where I think the secondary point is. So if the government tells us don't pray in this building, then I would say, unless there's a direct conflict with scriptural command, we don't need to pray in that building, but let's pray outside that building for that building. Let's pray for the people who are in it. And
well, now, Chad, I think of Polycarp, for example. You know, the great man of faith who is a great missionary and a great pastor.
Yes.
He lived his life under Christ. He's 80-whatever years old, and he's looking at the gladiatorial arena where they are just destroying humanity. They want to drag in more Christians. They want to kill more Christians as fodder, and they go and find Polycarp. Their idea is, let's go find this guy. It'll really be a spectacle if we can kill, you know, this pastor. So they try to find him, they nail him down, and they bring him out front, and they put him in front of the leader, and they ask him to deny Christ, right? And they say, would you deny Christ, and then we'll let you go? And of course his answer is no.
And he has that wonderful little speech. I won't have it exactly, but he basically says, why would I do that? I've served my Lord faithfully these 88 years. Why would I deny him now?
Exactly. So right now we're not being asked to do that. But let's go to the other side of this, where basically this priest jumped in and he stood before the arena trying to stop the gladiators and trying to stop the carnage, watching everybody around him with their bloodlust in their eyes, trying to watch this horrible spectacle. And he preached against it, and then they killed him. That became one of the last.
It was the beginning of the end of the. I know what you're talking about. It was the beginning of the end of the gladiator arenas. Yeah.
So what side should we be on? Should we be on the side of saying, like Polycarp, we want to be those ones who will go along with the government, but when they ask us to deny our faith, stop? Or should we be like that other guy who stands in front and says, you should stop, put our life on the line, and say, you guys are crazy for not praying to God. You guys are crazy for not doing this, and get it actively involved.
Yeah, I actually don't think extremes.
Yeah, I don't think those principles are actually in any kind of of conflict. They were two different things. He was speaking out against the moral evil that his conscience and his faith couldn't hold. Now, whether you ought to jump into the gladiatorial ring, stand between two brutes and tell them to stop chopping each other, I'm not going to suggest whether that was wise in and of itself.
Yeah. The example, though, is like, should someone like me, Chad, go drive up to, you listed Kelowna, and that's a city that I go to often. Should I go to their town council meeting and hold up a big sign or something? You know, you're heathens for banning prayer and create a ruckus? Or do I when I go past that, drive past that building, just pray for them?
I think there are wisdom principles, and that you're foolish to abandon God, but there are not any biblical verses that say, ye must do prayer before a town council meeting, but there are principles that say you shall not kill. Right. I think where we need to focus our efforts on that kind of effort is on the mass slaughter of the unborn or the euthanizing of the aged for convenience.
Right.
Those are the kind of places where that's a biblical principle. Again, I'm not saying prayer is unimportant. It really, really is. While we have freedom of speech and freedom to, you know, push for it, do it. Say, hey, I think we should have prayer. But there's a big difference between that and making that get a hill to die on. So to go to Al's thing there, make your heels to die on core biblical principles and focus on the gospel, because this is the historical comfort to you. The Roman Empire was converted one person at a time until the Roman Empire was Christian.
Right.
And then all these things eventually ended. Britain was in the darkest of times, but through the Great Awakening was converted one person at a time, and then all the freedoms of the modern world came into being. That can happen again. We need to focus our efforts on people and the gospel. That's where the emphasis is. And not worry so much about the political fights.
I think we can draw an actual application out of this. Let's do a little pastoral application kind of thing. I guess on a positive note, what this has done is it's actually helped us think about prayer and actually the decline of it in our society and even in our churches. I looked into my own town here in Ottawa. Up till 1998, they actually opened council meetings with the Lord's Prayer. Okay, now 1998 was about the pinnacle of political correctness, and so they switched to non-denominational prayer. Okay, yeah. Now that went to Almighty God, let us work together and serve all our people, English and French. That sounds pretty okay, about as easy as you can get, right?
Well, I don't know. It depends what the French version sounded like. It might not sound as.
Now, what they've done as of this week or whatever last week, they've replaced it with a moment of silence. Now, why? I have no idea.
So you can pray on your own, that's why.
Maybe. But some people are, some people aren't. So I think one of the benefits that's coming to this is that it's making Christians think about prayer, what it is and why we do it, which is meant to be communication with God through the person of Jesus Christ, who opened the doors to for all people to be able to approach God in his name. That's a good thing, and we should be doing it. It's critical to our relationship with God. But I think alongside, and if I think it's really interesting, you look at what's happening in the civic arena, I think it's happening in the Christian church as well. Prayer used to be a part of regular Christian life and service.
Yes.
Then we got busy and we got idolatrous.
How many people go to prayer meetings in your church?
Well, I know, but we knew it was kind of important, and so we started saying formulaic prayers, like, now I lay me down to sleep, right, which were basically meaningless. And now we switch to a moment of silence. Right? Maybe pray on special occasions. The same thing happened in civic arena that's happening in our churches. Like you just said, if we have service and we bring in the big band, boom, we can get some folks in. You have a prayer meeting where we say, come and talk to God. You get nobody.
Yeah, but Al, seeing a band play is so much more cooler than talking to Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth and sustainer of all things.
Who can do all things.
Yeah. Like, how could you even compare the two, really?
I mean, how about a band here? So I think maybe we can walk away with the pastoral application just saying, you know what, the Christian church hasn't really been showing the nation the power of prayer, so why would they want to keep it going anyway?
Ooh.
That's a good point.
I haven't thought of it that way. That's excellent. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Chad, any last thoughts?
Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We have the benefit of this wonderful Christian heritage still. And despite what Hollywood pushes and what our Supreme Court seems to buy in through reading entertainment novels instead of the law, we have a nation with a Christian heritage, and we ought to celebrate it, and we ought to recognize that it's to our exaltation. That's why we're the kind of free and wonderful nation that we are.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? There is a restaurant that I've never eaten at. It is gluten-free and vegan. I promise you, my picture is not on the wall over there. Does anybody want to eat there?
No, I'll just go hungry.
No, but I promise you, we'll be allowed to go in there.
Can we at least just go through a drive-thru of some place?
Wait, I have it, Steve. I have it. hold on, just Steve, could you open Ella's door there? Just get you out.
Okay.
Open it up for
him. Yep, I got it.
Yeah! Yeah! Okay, Steve, let's go get some food. We'll come back for Al once we're full.
Okay, let's see. We got Wendy's, or we got the Meatatorium over there.
Oh, Meatatorium! That's Al's favorite place. Let's go there.
Okay.
This has been Carnivore Theology with Chad, Al, and Steve. Thank you for listening today as we discussed prayer in public. To find out more about Carnivore Theology, or if you have any topics or questions you want us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting us on our website, www.carnivoretheology.com, or leaving a message on our SpeakPipe page, speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Actually, Steve, you had a very specific question in your notes.
Yeah. Well, in Ottawa, or where's my question? Sorry, guys. I will move this one.
And then she started all over again!
Ding. Restart. And so we started saying formulaic prayers, like, now I lay me down to sleep, right? Which were basically meaningless.
That reminds me of Metallica.
And now we switch...
I almost said the same thing.
And now we switch to a moment of silence.